Our first reading this morning is from Matthew 21, starting at verse 1.
Matthew's account of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethage at the Mount of Olives. There Jesus sent two of his disciples on ahead with these instructions. Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied up with a colt beside her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything, tell him, the master needs them, and then he will let them go at once. This happened in order to make what the prophet had said come true. Tell the city of Zion, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble and rides on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did what Jesus had told them to do. They brought the donkey and the colt, threw their cloaks over them, and Jesus got on. A large crowd of people spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds walking in front of Jesus and those walking behind began to shout, "Praise to David's son! God bless him who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was thrown into an uproar. "Who is he?" the people asked. "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee," the crowds answered.
Thank you. As we observe or celebrate Holy Week, we're given snapshots of Jesus' final days on earth. And here is one, Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. Not a horse, not in a carriage, but on a donkey. And as the reading indicates and commentaries agree, this fulfilled prophecy and was Jesus affirming his messianic royalty as well as his humility. Verses 4 to 5 tells us, this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. This is one of the few times when Jesus' glory was recognized on earth, though I'm sure not by everyone in the crowd. As the crowd shout Hosanna, which originally meant save now, it is speculated that the people actually meant, many of them, save us from our Roman oppressors. Although the phrases Son of God and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord both indicate that Jesus was being recognized as Messiah. So there were different views, even in the same crowd at that time. However, days later, a crowd would be shouting, crucify him. And many talk about the fickle crowd, those who bowed to political pressure or simply turned against Jesus. And I guess there were a number of those. But surely amongst those in the crowd cheering Jesus on what we call Palm Sunday were those who'd heard his teachings, those who'd seen his miracles, those who'd perhaps received his healing, those whose lives had been turned around by him. Though there would have also been people who were just swept up by the atmosphere, as there always are at times like this. So I think the crowd who were calling later for Jesus' death were perhaps a slightly different crowd. Those who opposed him were perhaps disturbed or upset by him. Troublemakers, or those, who, as I said, who just misunderstood him. I guess there would have been some of the same people too. But those who'd really put their faith in Jesus may have just stood amongst the crowd waiting to see what would happen, bewildered by the tide turn of opinion, praying for him, but perhaps not calling out, just standing there and waiting. When Jesus told the parable of the four soils, perhaps he was referring to a time like this. This is earlier in Matthew. Those seeds sown along the path are like those who hear the gospel but don't really take it on board. They can't accept or understand it. The seeds sown on rocky places were like those who heard God's word with joy, but because it didn't really take root, it didn't last. Seeds sown amongst thorns were like those whose faith started out well, but as they went along, it got choked by the worries and cares of everyday life or by the deceitfulness of wealth. But those seeds sown in good ground were like those who heard the word, who grabbed hold of their faith, who grew and developed and glorified God in their life. I think that's the mixture who were around on Palm Sunday and days later when Jesus was brought before the people. And it can be a reminder for us not to be complacent in our faith, superficial or quiet when we should be speaking up. As Paul later wrote to the church at Corinth, "So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall." Our faith will be tested from time to time, in different degrees and in different ways. How ready are we? Our second reading this morning is from Matthew 26, beginning at verse 14.
The events leading up to the Last Supper. Then one of the 12 disciples, the one named Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, "What will you give me if I betray Jesus to you?" They counted out 30 silver coins and gave them to him. From then on, Judas was looking for a good chance to hand Jesus over to them. On the first day of the festival of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked him, "Where do you want to get us to get the Passover meal ready for you?" "Go to a certain man in the city," he said to them, "and tell him, 'The teacher says, my hour has come. My disciples and I will celebrate the Passover at your house.'" The disciples did as Jesus had told them and prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, Jesus and the 12 disciples sat down to eat. During the meal, Jesus said, "I tell you, one of you will betray me." The disciples were very upset and began to ask him one after the other, "Surely, Lord, you don't mean me?" Jesus answered, "One who dips his bread in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man will die as the scriptures say he will. But how terrible for that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would have been better for that man if he had never been born." Judas, the traitor, spoke up. "Surely, teacher, you don't mean me," he asked. Jesus answered, "So you say." While they were eating, Jesus took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples. "Take and eat it," he said. "This is my body." Then he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them. "Drink it, all of you," he said. "This is my blood, which seals God's covenant. My blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink this wine until the day I drink the new wine with you in my Father's kingdom." Then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. Amen.
Thank you. Another snapshot of Jesus' final days. Our second reading is the account of a few days later, and in Matthew's Gospel comes just after the passage about a woman anointing Jesus with expensive perfume. It begins with Judas agreeing to betray Jesus. And as we only have these small snapshots of the events, I wonder what was going on between times for Jesus, knowing what was going to happen. The praying, the anguish, the things that would have been going through his mind. But also for Judas, perhaps feeling uncomfortable, guilty, in a turmoil, in two minds as to what he was doing, we don't know. Some of that Palm Sunday crowd had turned their back on Jesus. Later, Peter would deny knowing him, although he would regret this and repent. But here is Judas, a man who was definitely selling out. As one commentary says, then one of the 12, one of the disciples who had lived with the Lord Jesus, travelled with him, seen his miracles, heard his incomparable teaching, and witnessed the miracle of a sinless life, one whom Jesus would call my familiar friend, who ate my bread, it was that one who lifted his heel against the Son of God. Perhaps if we compare Judas Iscariot to the seed sown in the ground, it would be the one that was sown amongst thorns. He started to grow in the knowledge and in faith of Jesus, but was perhaps distracted by the deceitfulness of wealth and power, disappointed that Jesus actually hadn't come to overthrow the Romans and lead that revolt. The commentary goes on. He went to the chief priests and agreed to sell his master for 30 pieces of silver. The priests paid him on the spot the contemptible total of about $15. There's sort of mixed views on how much this was actually worth, but we can read in Exodus 21, though, that 30 shekels of silver would be paid for a slave. It is striking to note the contrast between the woman who anointed Jesus at Simon's home and Judas. She valued the Saviour highly. Judas valued him lightly. And from that moment, Judas was looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus, to hand him over. But Jesus knew this. As he sent his disciples to prepare for the Passover meal, which would be his last supper with them, he knew. And as they ate together in remembrance of their ancestors' exodus from Egypt, he shared this knowledge with the group. And Judas, as good as, admitted it. The fact that most churches celebrate communion monthly or perhaps more often helps to highlight the significance and importance of our Easter celebrations. Each month, or more often, we remember this Last Supper. Yes, Christmas gets more commercialism, which is a great shame. But Easter as a Christian festival is sometimes more overlooked or misunderstood, although it's so important and pivotal in our faith. So as Jesus shared with his disciples the bread and the wine, he spoke of his body broken for them, his blood shed for them and for us. Although animal sacrifices had been made since Old Testament times for people's sins, Jesus would now be the final and ultimate sacrifice. Jesus talks of his blood being a symbol of the new covenant. In verse 28, he says, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Words you'll be familiar with from communion services. Jesus was prepared to sacrifice his life, and his blood was sufficient to provide forgiveness for all. But here it was shed for many, in that it is only effective in removing the sins of those who believe. Jesus played his part in the gift of salvation, but salvation is only activated when it is accepted. So as we go on into this week, the end of Lent approaching, some of you may have given up or taken up some things for Lent. The milestones of Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and the joy of celebrating Easter Sunday once again. Let's try to appreciate anew Jesus' sacrifice and what it means for our lives. And let us pray for deeper roots for our faith so that we can be like those seeds sown in good soil, and that God's glory can be shown in our lives.